Father God, we heard at the start of this service that you are worthy of all praise. And we just sung two songs about praising you. And so I pray that these are words tonight that we don't just sing or read, but this will be a deep truth in our hearts, that deep in our hearts that we will want to give you praise, that we want to point others to Jesus, and that we want to deflect praise from ourselves and give you all the praise that you deserve. So, Lord, I pray that you help me to speak accurately and truthfully and faithfully from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the first things that I learned when I was a first-year building apprentice was not how to build, but was how to fake work. So some of the younger apprentices, other apprentices taught me this, and some of the younger builders taught me how to fake work. So the first thing that they taught me was if you could look at something just really intently. The second thing that they taught me was just get out your tape measure and pretend that you're measuring something. Oh, yeah, look like I'm working. And the third thing that they taught me was just look like you're in really deep conversation with someone. So, yeah, how was your weekend? Did you watch the footy? But just look like you're in deep conversation with someone. So when the boss walks past, you look busy. So before I learnt how to be a real builder, I first of all learnt how to be a fake builder. I heard another story recently about a lady who worked in a factory. And the boss said to everybody in the factory, I have an announcement to make. I'm going to be watching each of you very, very closely. He was a bit suspicious that everyone wasn't working as hard as they should. And so this lady thought, well, I better lift my game a little bit from putting in 1% to maybe 50%. And so whenever the boss was near, she would work really, really, really hard. But whenever the boss wasn't around, she would continue to bludge. And she thought she was putting on a good performance. She thought that she was putting on a good show, making a good impression on the boss. And then a few weeks later, the boss called her into the office. And she was thinking, yes, I have made a good impression. I've put on a good show. The boss is going to give me some kind of reward. And as she went up the stairs to the office, you know, she was expecting like a really nice office. But pretty much all that was in the office was a desk and a chair and a screen. And the whole time, the boss had been watching her work, the workers work. And her heart sunk because she knew that she had been caught. She knew that she was a fraud. She knew that she was a phony. And as we get to Matthew chapter 6 tonight, Jesus is addressing this very issue, but to Christians. He is warning us against being a fake Christian. He is warning us against being a fraud. And he is confronting those that are doing things simply for show, simply to impress others. He is confronting those who are being hypocrites, those Christians who are saying one thing but doing something else. And he's also saying that our public life and our private life should match. And so Jesus is challenging in this passage those Christians that are faking it, those that are living as frauds. And my big idea is this. Should come up soon, the suspense. This wasn't working for me last night, so you might have to do something there for me, Andy. Flick it or something. Be a genuine Christian with integrity. Now, when I was working, I faked work that time. When I was a builder in that first year apprentice, I wasn't genuine. I didn't have much integrity. But my big idea tonight is be a Christian who is genuine with integrity. And my 3 points are this. Avoid doing things for show. Instead, live for an audience of one. Avoid hypocrisy. Make sure your public life and private life match. And your Father, who sees what you do unseen, will reward you. And hopefully we can get those points up in a moment. But my first point is this. Avoid doing things simply for show. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus says here, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. First of all, what does Jesus mean by this word righteousness? Well, here in this context, the word righteousness, Jesus is talking about your righteousness, your godly conduct, your godly behavior. Later on in the Bible, the Apostle Paul will talk about the righteousness that we receive from Jesus. And so when we stand before God, we have Jesus' righteousness. But here, Jesus is talking about your righteousness, your godly conduct, your godly behavior. And he's saying, be careful about practicing that in front of others. Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. This is a hard teaching. And I find it actually quite difficult because for me personally, I feel like I like putting on a bit of a show, putting on a bit of performance, particularly on the sporting field. See, I think that I'm a talented sportsman and I like to just occasionally show off sometimes, particularly when Angela is watching. And so whenever I used to play soccer, I used to score like these glorious goals from outside the 18-yard box. And I would go to Angela after the game, did you see that? And she'd be like, oh, sorry, I was talking. I was like, oh, what, you missed it. And then I would have to describe it to her in over-exaggerated detail so that she would get the picture. I was playing for show. I wasn't playing for an audience of one. And Jesus again says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. A more serious example. I have a friend who's a minister at a new church and recently did his first wedding at this church. And what he was hoping after the wedding is that people could come up to him and give him praise. What a great ceremony you did. What a great wedding service. The church is in good hands with you here. Forget about the bride. Forget about the groom. Forget about God. He wanted the praise. And he gave me permission to share this story. He realized that it was all about him. Not about the bride and not about God. He wasn't doing it for an audience of one. And again, in Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so Jesus' antidote for showmanship, Christian showmanship, is this. Live for an audience of one. Let's read verses 2 to 4 together. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, Jesus here is talking about giving. And the principle, again, he is saying, do not give for show. And he's referring to people that were deliberately giving so that everybody could see them, so that they could be honored, so that people could give them praise. Look at me. I am giving to the poor. And Jesus uses the word trumpets. I am giving to the poor. Look at me. The equivalent today would be like when the offertory bag comes around and you stand on your chair and you say, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I just have an announcement to make. I'm just going to put a $100 bill in the offertory bag. No big deal, just letting you all know. Jesus here is confronting those that are doing it for show. And he also gives similar examples about prayer and fasting as well. He rebukes those that are praying for show, simply so that they can be seen by others. And he's rebuking those that are fasting, just so that they can be honored by others as well, so that people can see their righteousness. So how do you go at all of this? How do you go as you serve as a Christian? Do you do it for yourself, or do you do it for God? Do you do it to an audience of one? Because as it says in verse 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let me ask you this question. Would you still put that $100 bill in the offertory bag, even if no one else was watching? Even if nobody else was to ever know about it, and it was just between you and God? Would you do it? And this is what I mean by audience of one. We are not doing things for others. We are not doing things for our own praise. We are doing it for God, because we heard earlier that he is worthy of all praise. Because ultimately your giving is between you and God. Your prayer is between you and God. Fasting is between you and God. And yes, others will be encouraged and blessed by it, but ultimately, it's between you and God. Let me give you another example. When I preach this sermon, I preach to an audience of one. I preach as if there's nobody else in this room. I'm preaching to God. Because ultimately, I'm seeking to please him. Ultimately, I want to be faithful to him. I'm not seeking a name for myself, but as it says in verse 9 of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. And the same is true for you when you serve at church. Whether you are preaching or service leading or cleaning the toilet, whether you're a church warden or on parish council, whether you lead a Bible study, whether you're in the church band or on the sound desk, whether you welcome on door or do the church working bee or mow the lawns, whatever you do, do you do it so that others will see you? Or do you do it because you want to be faithful to God? Do you do it for an audience of one? And doesn't this contradict what Jesus says earlier on in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, when he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven? Yes, we are to let our light shine, that others will not see us, but see God and give glory to him. When we do these things, we don't want people to say, how great are you? We want people to say, they must have a great God. And so that verse still stands. But here Jesus is challenging our heart, challenging our motivation for doing these things. Is it for your praise? Is it to boost your ego and confidence a little bit? Or is it for God's praise? Because again, he is worthy of all praise. And I'm also, this is what I'm not saying today. I'm not saying that we don't encourage people when they do a good job. We should encourage people all the time when they do a good job. But what do we do when we receive that encouragement? Well, you could allow it all to go to your head and allow your head to swell up so big that it doesn't fit through the church door anymore. You could do that. Or you could say these four simple words: praise be to God. So what do you do if someone comes up to you and says, great job leading the band tonight? Well, you say thank you and praise be to God. What happens if someone comes up to you and says, great job cleaning the church toilet this week? You say thank you and praise be to God. What do you do if the boss comes to you and says, great job on the financial spreadsheet? Well, it might be a bit hard to give public praise in your boss's office, but at least in your heart, give praise to God. Why? Because he is worthy of all praise. And Jesus' point here is we're not doing these things for show. We are doing these things for an audience of one. And as we do that, then hopefully our light will shine. And people will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And so that's the first point. The second point as to how to be a genuine Christian with integrity is to avoid hypocrisy. Do you see how many times Jesus mentions the word hypocrite in these verses? Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. And verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Now, a hypocrite is someone who says one thing but does something else. A hypocrite is somebody who's generally pretty good at performing and acting, but in the end, their life is a sham. They are living a double life. I'd like to share with you a story about a man that I knew when I was growing up. Now, this man was a close family friend. We trusted this man. We thought he was a good man. We thought he was a great family man. We thought he was a righteous man. And I knew this man from the day I was born until the day that he died. And this man would often take my brother and I out various places. So I remember one memory is he took us to the chicken farm, where we got to see thousands of chickens and where they laid their eggs, and we got to see how all that was processed. But we found out in the latter years of his life that he was a hypocrite, that he wasn't the man that he appeared to be. We found out, actually, that he'd faked his own death. And he actually had a family that somehow discovered him. I don't know how, but they discovered that he was still alive. And so he was painting one picture about himself, that he was this great family man. But the whole time, he wasn't even looking after his family. He was living as a hypocrite. He was living a double life. And Jesus does not want us doing that as Christians, because there is nothing worse than Christian hypocrisy. So many people say to me, I don't believe in God because those Christians are such hypocrites. They say one thing but do something else. And I know when I was working on the building site, one of my biggest challenges was to avoid being a hypocrite. I did not want to go around declaring that I was a Christian and then swearing my head off every time I hit my finger with a nail, or declaring that I was a Christian and then doing something else completely different on the weekend. I wanted to avoid being a hypocrite because I know how much that can ruin Christian witness. And so Jesus' antidote for this is that our public life and our private life need to match. They need to go together. And so let's look again at what he says in verses 5 to 8. And Jesus is specifically using the example of prayer here. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, For they loved to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. And so Jesus is saying here, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray those long, lengthy prayers simply so you can be heard by others. Don't pray those prayers and then don't pray at home in private. And Jesus here, he's not saying he's for long prayers or short prayers. The point is he's making here is don't pray simply for show. Don't be a hypocrite. Because ultimately our prayers, aren't they? They're meant to point to Jesus, not to us. And so pray for those who pray at church because they have a tough job. But the broader principle applies to us all, that our public life needs to match our private life. You say you're a Christian here at church in this building. Are you still living as a Christian at home? And do you notice in verse 6 what Jesus says? He says, but when you pray. But when you pray. Jesus assumes that you pray. So do you pray? Not just here at church, but privately as well. I don't know if anyone here has seen the movie War Room. Put up your hand if you've seen that movie. Angela, Michelle, yep, a few people. Not just Angela this time, so that's good. And so sometimes people can be a bit critical of Christian movies, a bit critical of the acting, a bit critical of the biblical license that they use. But I find it pretty hard to criticize an entire movie that is based on the concept of prayer. And I really feel that this movie is pretty much based on this verse. And this lady in the movie quite literally starts a prayer room in her closet. And she starts praying for her husband and praying for her kids and praying for the church and praying for the world. It's a reminder that we're in a spiritual battle. And prayer is our best weapon that we have. And again, the principle here that Jesus wants us to get is don't be hypocrites. Don't do one thing publicly and another thing privately. And he's specifically targeting in on our prayer life. Holly sent me, hello Holly, sent an article to me on Facebook this week, and I know some of you saw that article. And one of the things in that article, it was a survey about young adults that were 18 to 30 who lived in the UK. And one of the things in that article, it said that 89% of people got their spiritual knowledge from sermons. Now that is good and also not good at the same time. So 89% got their main spiritual knowledge from sermons. It's good because it means that people are listening to sermons. It's not good because the statistics for personal Bible reading for these Christians was very, very poor. And so my fear is, for some of you, is that you? Is the sermon your only spiritual input during the week? And then you leave church and you have no relationship with God at all. And Angela and I were reflecting on that article over dinner. We were thinking about where did we get our spiritual knowledge from? How did we grow as Christians? And we worked out that we've grown most as Christians through Bible studies, reading the Bible with others one-to-one, personal Bible reading, going to Christian camps and conferences. The sermon was really the icing on the cake of all this other stuff that was going on in our lives. And so it's good if you're listening to sermons, but if that is your only spiritual input during the week, that is not a good thing. If you have no relationship with God during the week, then that's not a good thing. And I'm not just talking about just flicking through the Bibles a couple of times a week for 5 minutes. That's not really a relationship with God as well. And I want to remind you, not that I'm much older than you guys, some of you guys, is the patterns that we set up as young people, the spiritual patterns we set up, are the patterns that we seem to continue throughout the rest of our life. And so it's really important that you get this right in your life now. I remember one of the best conversations that I had with my friends when I was about 19 years old. I became a Christian when I was 18, and we mucked around for a year, and then we just sat down when we were 19 years old, and my mate said, there was three of us, said, it's time to get serious with God. We've got to stop mucking around. We've got to stop living as hypocrites. We need to get serious with God. And so for that next year, we kept each other accountable in our Bible reading. We kept each other accountable in our temptations. We were already serving in ministry. We were doing stuff, but we wanted our public life and our private life to match. And one of my favorite quotes from a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this. He says, what you do at church impacts your private life, and what you do in private impacts the church. And so here, for all of us, Jesus does not want us to be hypocrites, and he targets our prayer and spiritual life. He wants those, our private and public life, to match. And the final point is this: how do we be genuine Christians with integrity? Well, your Father in heaven, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. Verse 4. So that your giving may be in secret, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And he says it three times in this passage. Your Father, who sees what you've done in secret, will reward you. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. But he also says the opposite for those that are living a life not for God. He says to them that they have received their reward in full. They have received their reward in full. They have received their reward in full. Jesus is using repetition for a reason, because he wants us to get the point. And what he essentially is saying is, if you are living to get praise now, then you have received your reward in full already. But if you are living for God's praise, then the best is yet to come. Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And so Jesus doesn't want us to be fake Christians. Jesus doesn't want us to be frauds. He doesn't want us to be hypocrites and do things for show. He wants our public and private life to match. He wants us to be genuine believers with integrity. I mentioned earlier that I was a fake builder, that I used to put on a little bit of a show when the boss walked past. But I want to guarantee you tonight that I'm not a fake Christian, that I am not living a double life. I'm the same Simon here at church. I'm the same Simon at home. Dean Hooper, are you the same person here at church, the same person at home, the same person at university? Because your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. Steve Bear, are you the same person here at church, the same person at home, the same person at work? because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Cat Cousins, are you the same person here at church, the same person at home, the same person at uni and work? Because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Are you the same person at church? Are you the same person at home? Are you the same person at school or uni or work or whatever other context you are in? Because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Thank you.